states, they don't have an SEC, right? There's more nation states stacking than they have disclosed. So,
yeah. Do you think that's the case?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you're a sovereign wealth fund or if you're in charge of a lot of capital and you actually understand Bitcoin, to really think about how much of this am I going to tell people versus how much of this am I going to just quietly accumulate and then make a big splash in 6 months or whatever. So I absolutely think they're stacking. I think they're probably mining. And I think they're just kind of waiting for the right time to tell people.
Do you think it's possible for the U.S. to do that, though? George in the house. George, how are we doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
All right, man. Awesome stuff. So tell me, you got the beer in hand already. You're ready to go.
Yeah.
How is this kickoff party treating you so far?
So far, so good. I mean, it's a great crowd, a lot of energy, people fired up for the conference, and starting to see some golfers come off the course. So, yeah, having a good time.
How's your golf game?
Oh, man, it is not good enough to play at this event, but, you know, it's a little bit top golf here and there.
You can dabble, like tee it high, let it fly a little bit, but you're just more about the John Daly's on the course,
right? That's right.
You're more there for the fun times,
absolutely,
right? Absolutely. You're a vibes guy on the course. I like that, dude. I like that. So we've got a huge week ahead of us. You're obviously with Bitcoin for Corporations.
Yes.
The revolution that we've seen. Within what? When did you guys even start? I feel like just like a couple months ago.
Yeah. Well, we launched last year in Nashville, so it's only been about 10 months.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the momentum has been crazy. I mean, I think corporate adoption is the key kind of narrative of this cycle.
Yeah.
And a lot of excitement, a lot of FOMO, frankly. But I think everyone's just kind of seen what Sailor has done and wants to replicate it. Seen what Metaplanet has done and. Now there's, you know, 20 companies in our network and a lot more sort of in the pipeline. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a crazy 10 months.
My God, it feels like 3 years at least. Like, I mean, 10 months, so much has happened with all that. But it seems like everything is just accelerating. Every time I see, like, you guys tweeting out, there's another company coming online.
Yeah.
And obviously there's rumblings coming on here with all the big conference. There's going to be some announcements, I'm sure, here.
Yeah.
But without spoiling anything just yet, how many corporations do you think, like, within this year are going to come on, like, in the next 10 months?
Yeah, I mean, I think things could get pretty crazy. Like, obviously, the price of Bitcoin has a lot to do with, you know, how much momentum continues. But, I mean, I'm personally very bullish. I would love to see our network reach 50 companies by the end of the year. You know, we started out with a goal of 100, and so we're well on our way to get 100. But yeah, I mean, I would not be surprised if that number was like
accelerates. Doubled. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised either, to be honest, at this pace.
Right.
How big of a mental barrier do you think hitting that 100K mark was? Or do you think it was maybe, you know, the FASB ruling or Trump getting elected? What do you think was kind of like a bigger role with how we've seen, you know, as the conversations you're having with all these different corporations?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it's mostly seeing the success of, you know, the predecessors, seeing Sailor, seeing Simon at Metaplanet. That's really what's been the major catalyst. Everyone's like, you know, why wouldn't I do this? This seems simple enough. It's definitely not easy. I mean, it's a lot of work. And I do kind of want to, like, express some caution of, like, not everyone can do this. Like, there has to be execution behind, just like, it's not just all kind of marketing and narrative. Like, you actually have to do the work, you have to raise the capital, you have to buy the Bitcoin, there's a lot of steps involved that I think people are kind of underrating a little bit, but certainly 100K was a big barrier. Trump getting elected, huge momentum, huge catalyst. I think what's interesting about this cycle is that, you know, feels like retail is not even here yet.
If you've seen, like, I think River posted a great, a study or something like that around that. And if you look at the way Bitcoin has changed its hands, retails, it almost looks like they're dumping.
I know. And it's kind of the saddest part of the cycle a little bit. Like, it makes me a little bit sad, like, to see retail kind of having lettuce hands like that and selling all their Bitcoin to Sailor. But, you know, I think people have to sell from time to time, and it is what it is. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens if retail shows up.
Yeah. I mean, I think then when retail shows up, all bets are off. And who knows when that will be. But with this, right, you're having a bunch of corporations. We had 21 launch. We have Nakamoto launch. How I guess, motivation or influential do you think those two launches are? Because I think it was 21 had the biggest raise ever to buy Bitcoin.
Yeah, $3 billion,
a couple months later, it was Nakamoto who was beating that.
Yeah.
So how big do you think these you know, players are in what you're seeing here.
Yeah, I mean, massive. I mean, $710 million for Nakamoto, $3 billion for 21. Announcement this morning, I don't know if you saw it, Trump Media Group announced they're raising $3 billion.
There we go. I mean, another one. I mean, that's going to be huge as well.
Yeah, yeah. So the dominoes keep falling. I mean, really, I think for me, I'm waiting to see what company that, you know, normies, so to speak, know about. A company that you've heard of that adopts a Bitcoin treasury. A company that has, you know, a shit ton of cash that they're just sitting on that's melting, that they finally get it. And so, you know, maybe we'll hear from a company like that this week. I don't know. But it's going to happen. I mean, you know, one of the big seven or even a Fortune 500 company getting in the mix, I think, is really going to tip the scales.
Yeah. So, I want to talk to you about GameStop, if you can peek under the hood, if you've had any conversation with Ryan Cohen, because, from what all accounts, I've heard that they rose, you know, like maybe $1.3 billion, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And that was like six times the amount of MicroStrategy at the time when they first bought Bitcoin, way back when, right? 4 or 5 years ago now. It seems like ages ago.
Right, right.
So, you know, but since that time, I don't think we've really heard too much. It's been kind of all quiet on the Western front with them.
Yeah, yeah, it's been interesting. So I have not talked to Ryan Cohen personally, not yet. One of my goals, for sure. But yeah, I think a lot of people are just kind of waiting to see. They made the announcement. They changed their treasury policy. So they have the green light. They have the capital. Even before the raise, they have the capital.
Yeah.
And so everyone's just kind of waiting to see when they're going to make their move. And so I am too. I would love to kind of get them involved. So Ryan, if you're watching, we'd love to get you involved.
He's a big fan of the show. I know he's definitely watching this right now.
Yeah, we'd love to get you involved in Bitcoin for Corporations. But yeah, I mean, a company like that, I think, would make a big splash. They kind of already did. But, you know, everyone's still kind of, you know, on the edge of their seat, waiting to see when they're going to make their move.
Yeah, so with that, though, right, I mean, it was the GameStop craze a few years ago, right? It was kind of lunacy. So, you know, all bets were off with the GameStop stock. So do you think that, you know, that is almost like, all right, well, people are looking at GameStop raising as like, oh, well, that's just GameStop. Or do you think that it adds a lot of validity because it's just another player coming in? Like, how do you think the, I guess, perception is of that?
No, that's a good question. So I was in Japan a couple months ago for Metaplanet's AGM.
Yeah.
And got to meet a lot of their shareholders and had really good conversations. One of the things that was kind of the most striking was talking to a couple people, actually, who told me that they got into Bitcoin because of Metaplanet. So they were sort of early shareholders of Metaplanet. But then the more they kind of dug in, the more they saw the performance of the stock, the more they were like, oh, I should kind of figure out what this whole Bitcoin thing is, right? And so I think the same thing is going to happen with GameStop is you have a lot of very passionate shareholder base that you know, really went through it a couple years ago with the short squeeze and everything. And I think they're going to follow in the lead of you know, the company in terms of what they do next and how the performance of the stock follows. And what they're going to start digging into is the underlying asset. Like, why is Bitcoin creating so much shareholder value just from a company holding it on their balance sheet? So I'm excited for that because I think that's an underrated part of what's happening is that corporations are actively orange pilling their shareholders.
Yeah. So yeah. Do you think that that's going to be the revolution as well? Like, I mean, obviously we're having corporations putting it on the balance sheet. Yeah. I mean, like, you guys are seeing it 50 to 100 maybe this year. Who knows? But also, like, is that, do you think, going to be a big driver as like retail bringing in? Because we already mentioned, like, we haven't even seen retail yet. Do you think that's going to help bring that retail FOMO in almost?
I hope so. Like, I hope that these corporations, I hope part of the work that we do is helping educate retail that absolutely you should get involved and you should also hold, you know, spot Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So you're seeing some of that messaging, you know, depending on the company. So, I think it's going to be a huge catalyst.
Okay. So then how big do you think so obviously Trump and his media group just announced that they're going to raise money to buy Bitcoin. But this new administration coming in, right? I mean, we talked about it 10 months ago. Seems like ages ago, but Trump was at this very conference 10 months ago. Yep. Now we have the sitting vice president coming here as well, J.D. Vance.
Yep.
How big of an influence do you think that is playing on just the overall, I guess, vibe shift in Bitcoin in general?
I mean, I think it's massive from a couple different standpoints. One, companies feeling more comfortable, you know, because listen, this is a nascent technology, nascent industry. There's a lot of rules that are unwritten, that are undefined. And I think before you had regulatory clarity or you had an understanding that the administration was at least friendly to Bitcoin, there was hesitation to do certain things as a founder or an entrepreneur. I think that's gone away.
Yeah.
So that's just huge. The other thing is, you know, the rest of the world follows the U.S. in a lot of ways. And so I think between the administration's kind of posture towards Bitcoin, as well as the strategic Bitcoin reserve and kind of the progress we've made on that front, that's going to create nation state FOMO. And so I think those are the two main drivers of this cycle, is corporate adoption and nation state adoption. And so the cat's out of the bag. I think the race is on. Now I think, you know, the game theory that Bitcoiners have been talking about for so many years is playing out in real time, and we're kind of like trying to figure out, you know, where it goes from here. Because there's tactics and there's strategy to like how much you disclose. Obviously, corporations have to do more work to disclose ahead of time. Nation states, they don't have an SEC, right?
Yeah. 100%.
So for all we know, there's more nation states stacking than, you know, have disclosed.
Ooh.
So,
yeah. Do you think that's the case?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, because if you're a sovereign wealth fund, or if you're in charge of a lot of capital, and you actually understand Bitcoin, you have to really think about how much of this am I going to tell people versus how much of this am I going to just quietly accumulate and then make a big splash in 6 months or whatever. So I absolutely think they're stacking. I think they're probably mining. And I think they're just kind of waiting for the right time to tell people.
100%. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Do you think it's possible for the U.S. to do that, though?
In terms of stacking without telling people?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
because I feel like, I mean, you know, Trump likes to like his credit and everything like that.
Yeah.
But he also, like, you know, he's a smart businessman.
Right.
So I could see both sides of the argument.
Yeah.
I just think that the U.S., like, we have so much bureaucracy, red tape and all of that to kind of do that, where, you know, we've had Senator Cynthia Lummis banging the drum at this very conference for years now.
Yeah.
Right. And then now we have Michael Saylor saying, hey, the U.S. should buy 5 million Bitcoin.
Right.
So, but if the U.S. were to announce that, you know, do the Senator Cynthia Lummis plan, it would be ignorant to think that people are not going to try to front run the U.S.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like, to me, I don't know. Maybe we are. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we do have the advantage of also being able to print money.
Yeah. We could be the only nation. We're the only nation that could print money to buy Bitcoin.
So I think if you did that, you'd probably have to do it kind of quietly.
Yeah.
You can also mine pretty quietly, right?
Yeah.
Like without raising too many. Obviously, you can see kind of when major hash rate comes online. But I think if I'm the U.S. and I understand Bitcoin, it's like you said, you don't want people to front run you. So you're probably finding ways, little pockets here and there, to accumulate without having to disclose. Until it becomes kind of this mainstream thing where the Strategic Reserve Bill passes and now, you know, Congress has actually allocated money to purchase Bitcoin, you know, then the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
So, but I have a feeling that some of this price run-up that we've seen has been kind of quiet accumulation by major players.
Okay. Well, the flip side of it is always like everybody looks at the global M2 money supply, right?
Right.
So we've got Lawrence Lepard over there selling his book, The Big Print.
Yep.
We all know it's coming.
Right.
So if and when we lower the interest rates and we see that price start to run up even more, how much do you think your phone is going to start ringing and being like, how do we do this damn Bitcoin thing?
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, first of all, my phone's already just like kind of blowing up off the hook. I mean, I think the FOMO is already here, like especially for corporate adoption. I think the race is on. People understand that, like, look, there's a couple different ways to do this. You can either IPO.
Yeah.
You can do like a reverse merger SPAC type of situation. Either route takes time, right? In the U.S.
Yeah.
In the U.S. at least. Or if you already are a public company, obviously, that's the quickest route. If you're already a public company and you just like get it and you pivot your entire strategy, you orange pill your board. But the writing is on the wall. So if you're like, I want to do this, but it's going to take 6 to 12 months or more, I need to start now. That's, I think, the period that we're in. It's like people getting their ducks in a row so that they can do this, you know, in the next year.
Yeah. Oh, so you think the next year is going to be the most vital, I guess, section here? Or what are your, I guess, timeline expectations?
I mean, I think there's probably more companies kind of getting ready to do this on paper in terms of, like, again, whether it's they're going to IPO or they're going to pivot their entire current public company strategy or they're going to acquire a company and do a reverse merger. I mean, I think there's probably tens, not 100 plus companies just in the U.S. talking about this.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you be at this point? It's kind of there's kind of been this tipping point where it used to be career suicide for like a CFO or a financial controller to be like, hey, we should talk about Bitcoin. That was like, get this guy out of here. Who is, yeah. You know what I mean? Now it's the opposite. Now it's you have career risk if you don't talk about this, because in 2 years, your shareholders and your board are going to be looking at you like, why didn't you tell us about Bitcoin when, you know, all these companies were doing it? The writing was on the wall. It's all public. We could have front run GameStop.
Yeah.
We could have front run, you know, all these companies that are doing it. And so we're in this weird period right now where if you're in that position to make that move and you're not talking about it, like, you're going to regret that in a couple years.
The best place to buy Bitcoin in the United States and Canada is the Bitcoin Well. You could go to the bitcoinwell.com/greencandle and sign up today, and they will give you wishing well tokens. They are one of the only exchanges in the United States that will give you free sats every time you buy Bitcoin. You have a chance to win 1 million sats every time you buy. You get wishing well tokens. You flip the coin down the wishing well, and you have the chance to win 1 million sats. You heard me here, folks. 1 million sats. And on top of that, they have the absolute best over-the-counter service where you can make purchases over $50,000. And they will walk you through the whole thing. They have the best rates in the United States and in Canada. And on top of that, they have the best white glove service where they will take you through those giant purchases just so you feel comfortable. You'll get it in cold storage and it's strictly non-custodial. They are saying, we want you to experience the true power of Bitcoin and that self-custody. So go to the well, sign up, bitcoinwell.com/greencandle today.
Okay, so you've discovered Bitcoin and are on the path to financial self-sovereignty, but simply holding Bitcoin is not enough. You need to make sure that it's stored properly and you are in 100% control over all your assets. So sharing your keys with third parties and taking on that counterparty risk is not the answer. The answer is pure and simple. It's uncompromising self-custody, and there's no better way to do it than the Bitcoin way. They've got over 25 years of cybersecurity experience, and their team of experts can help you properly self-custody your Bitcoin, secure your digital life, configure your privacy phones, and even establish a Plan B residency if you're looking to do so. So I'm gonna help you guys out here and give you a free consultation if you take the first step and visit thebitcoinway.com/greencandle, and you can check out the boys at the Bitcoin Way and see how they can help you become self-sovereign.
How much do you think Microsoft is going to regret that 99.5% vote of emphatically saying no? Get this funny internet money out of here.
Bro, they have no excuses. I mean, they had Saylor at their board meeting give a presentation.
And they, like, had him run it through pretty quick, right? Yeah. It was like 4 minutes, 5 minutes or something like that?
Yeah. And so, I mean, if you don't get it after Saylor comes to your board meeting, like, I just I mean, at least they invited him. I guess that's something. For a major company like that, I mean,
why do you think it was so far no?
I mean, I just think if you kind of go outside of our bubble, the Bitcoin kind of bubble, no one's talking about this. It's kind of surprising.
Is it because the Bitcoiners aren't holding Microsoft stock? It's just not. Do you think that's a reason, or do you think it's, you know, people are holding Microsoft because they just want to protect their wealth and they think, oh, you know, S&P 500, let's, you know, Mag 7, slow and steady, that kind of stuff. Like, why was it so much no?
Yeah.
That's what's mind-boggling to
me. Yeah, no, it's a really good question. Like, it wasn't even like 5 people or 10 people that were like, hey, this seems like a good idea. You've had success. Look at these charts that you're showing us. Yeah, I mean, I still think Bitcoin outside of our bubble is still kind of in this, it's looked at as this fringe technology that still has to prove itself. I mean, I honestly thought that once we hit 100K, people would get it. They'd be like, all right, this is here to stay. You know, it's not going anywhere. It's been 13 years, but that didn't happen. And so I'm starting to wonder if it's always going to be like that to a certain extent, if it's going to be a, you know, we talk about gradually, then suddenly, and maybe there'll be an element of that. But I'm wondering if the gradually phase is going to sort of continue for a little while longer. And it's just going to be like some people get it and then so more people get it, but, you know, not like Microsoft, Apple, Netflix overnight type of a thing.
Yeah.
But then again, the other major catalyst that's kind of hanging out there is kind of the big print. Is like, yeah. You know, your dollars just kind of being increasingly worthless and not being harder and harder to ignore.
So I've been asking this question to a lot of my podcast guests, but you are in an interesting position where you might know a little something yeah. about this. I think that Meta is going to be that one Mag 7 because Michael Saylor had as much voting rights as Mark Zuckerberg does now.
Yep.
And he's got the two goats, Bitcoin and Maxi.
That's right.
He's going the chain pop, the new haircut, the whole nine.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if you know anything, but do you see that as a potential possibility, even with like what we were just kind of prefacing before with Microsoft just going, hell no, get this thing out of here?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're definitely one of the best positioned, probably the best positioned in the Mag 7. Look, so part of our mission at Bitcoin for Corporations, so we're accelerating corporate Bitcoin adoption, and we do that by enrolling new companies who are already running the playbook, companies who have a Bitcoin treasury strategy. But the other part of our mission is to orange pill companies that aren't here yet.
Yeah.
And Meta's definitely on our radar. It's a company that we would love to talk to. We have a couple contacts that are, you know, they're not Zuckerberg, but hopefully we can, get closer and closer to the decision-making authority, because, like you said, he can almost unilaterally do it, right?
Yeah, 100%.
But I think there's a certain tact to it, right? Like, you can't just, like, force it through. The way that Saylor did it was very, like, brought his board along and convinced them that it was a good idea, even though he had the right and the power to do it unilaterally. And so I think Zuckerberg needs to follow a similar type of approach where it's like, look, I can do this one way or the other, so you can either kind of get on board or not.
Yeah.
I imagine some of those conversations are already happening.
Self-custody can be a daunting task. That's why I've partnered with Bitbox. They have the best hardware wallet. They make it the easiest to put Bitcoin in self-custody. So go to bitbox.swiss/greencandle today and use promo code GREENCANDLE and you can get 5% off your entire order. They make it so easy, all in one. You could get the hardware wallet. You could get their punch plates. You could do it all right there on that website to make the self-custody experience the easiest it can be. So visit bitbox.swiss/greencandle. Use promo code GREENCANDLE. Get 5% off your entire order and get your Bitcoin off an exchange into self-custody today. All right, enough from me. Let's get back to the show.
My favorite thing about Bitcoin is meeting Bitcoiners in person. That's why I'm so excited to tell you guys about what is going on June 14th down in beautiful Tampa Bay, Florida. That's the Sound Money Soiree paired with Bitcoin Day. They're bringing a full day of great talks with amazing speakers like your boy here. And we're topping it off with a black tie event just for you and bring in that hot lady friend. We had Bitcoin cross 100K. We're all getting girlfriends, folks. So come on down to beautiful Tampa, Florida. And if you use the link below, you will get 10% off your entire order, whether you want to go to just the Black Tie event or Black Tie event plus Bitcoin Day, you'll get 10% off using the links below. Also, if you're thinking about going to BitBlock Boom in April, if you're going to Vegas in May, or if you're thinking about going to Prague in June, use my promo code GREENCANDLE for all of those. You'll get 10% off your entire order. And come bug me. I hope to see you guys very soon at one of these great in-person events. Enough for me. Back to the show.
What I also think is interesting is, Facebook, Meta, they kind of got their hand slapped pretty hard, 5 years ago when they tried to do Libra?
Yeah.
I don't even remember this. And so I think that probably left a bad taste in their mouth.
Okay.
The more I travel the world, the more I realize that the sort of Bitcoin versus crypto narrative is still very prevalent.
Yeah.
I think it's well understood among U.S. Sort of crypto community that there's a clear divide. Not divide in like the community, but like there's a clear difference between what Bitcoin is doing versus everything else. And I don't know that that's well understood at, in the boardroom of Meta.
Yeah.
I think the boardroom of Meta is like, oh, you're talking about Bitcoin? I remember Libra. We're not doing that again. Like, that was a disaster. Because it was. It was a nightmare. Like, they basically got told, like, you're not going to compete with the U.S. government and create your own coin with the network effects that you have, instantly turning on payments for, your billions of users.
Yeah.
And, so I think there's probably a little bit of reluctance just kind of based on that.
Yeah. All right, well, that's fair. And I think they're launching, like, something stablecoin related or looking into it. I think there's, like, rumblings with it right
Again?
Now. Yeah.
I mean,
they're doing something else.
All right, I haven't heard
I
that.
Mean, yeah, that's what I remember because I'm looking into it because, obviously, like, this is one company that I'm like,
yeah.
This is what I'm putting my flag down. This is where I think right. The Mag7's going because, I mean, like, you know, I think Apple, if they start to integrate it, they might want to integrate the payment side of it, right, because we got the Apple Pay.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that could change the game in some way, shape, or form. But, I mean, there's a lot of, like, I don't know. I mean, like, Tim Cook allegedly owns Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things that could change here. But, obviously, we've got this huge conference, a lot of potential people talking, a lot of potential announcements. What's one thing that you're looking forward to in this week that we got coming up here?
Man, there's so much. It is a packed week. I mean, usually there's you know, several side events and after parties and things to attend. This year, we probably have more than ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, the after parties are definitely something to look forward to. Tomorrow at Industry Day, we're hosting a symposium at the Enterprise Stage from 10 to 3. So I'm really looking forward to that. We put a lot of work into kind of making sure that the run of show and the speaker lineup is excellent. So, yeah, that's probably going to be my highlight. But, you know, I brought my family this year, so I'm excited for them to see it. And it's just going to be a great week. I'm really looking forward to it. Vegas adds something very unique, I think, to the dynamic. So it's going to be fun.
That's awesome stuff. Well, where can more people find out about what you guys are doing over at Bitcoin for Corporations? And more about you, George.
Yeah, definitely. So bitcoinforcorporations.com, you can find us. We're also on Twitter, Bitcoin for Corps. So we're constantly putting out new information and kind of, I think it's the front lines of corporate adoption. So definitely check us out.
It's a great Twitter account. I use it a lot and when I'm talking about corporate adoption in my live streams and stuff like that.
Definitely
recommend that follow.
Thank you. Yeah, shout out to Nick Ward on our team who does a great job of kind of running that handle and puts out, I mean, really high quality content. I'm also on Twitter, at G McHale. And come find me at the conference. We'd love to say hi.
Go bug him. Go bug him.
Definitely.
Yeah, George, you're doing great
awesome.
Work, man.
Thank you,
I really
sir.
Appreciate
yeah, good
your time.
You,
thank you for tuning into the latest episode of the State of Bitcoin podcast. If you really enjoyed this one, I've got another one cooking up for you. You can click that right here and you can go to the next episode, which is an absolute banger where you know I'm bringing you only the latest and greatest guests. Or if you're looking for more macro-related content, you could check out my other channel, Macro Insights Pod. I got it linked for you right here. So where I'm bringing you more about stocks, real estate, traditional finance stuff. So go ahead and check that out. And if you enjoyed this podcast, go ahead and hit that like, hit that subscribe button, and tell a friend to tell a friend. All right, enough from me. I'll see you at the next one.